All right, well, welcome to New Song. We're happy that you're
welcome,
here this
guys.
Morning. Good to see everybody. You had a pretty busy week, huh, sweetheart?
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. We had over 100 ladies in this house, by the way. And I tell you,
that is amazing. Congratulations
on
a great.
You.
I hear
Yay.
Some people are saying it was the best one ever. Look at, here's the crowd, by the way.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
only just a part of it, actually. The house yeah. was filled with ladies worshiping God,
yes.
connecting to one another, connecting to God, casting their nets out, going
yeah.
deeper.
Going deeper with lots of laughter. I just think it's really important. You know, God made us to laugh. Mm-hmm. And laughter is like what?
Good medicine.
Medicine, that's exactly right. And I want to really give some shout-outs to some of the men that really, they gave us their weekend. Rob Hansen gave us his weekend. Roy Poe gave us his weekend.
Yep, thanks,
and we're so appreciative of these guys that really came in and served us.
What about
and
all the ladies that served?
I love the ladies.
I've got to give them props for
all
sure.
My ladies, stand
they were
up.
Amazing.
Come on, stand up. You
they
all did good.
Amazing.
Fallon did the baskets.
Thank
Betty
you,
with the food. Beth
Thank
did a workshop
ladies.
For me. And you all just, Gail did the little bookmarks. We're just so many.
Here's a fun
and,
picture of your team.
Oh,
there,
isn't that
huh?
great? Look at us. There we are. We are going deeper.
That's awesome.
So, oh, look. See, look, guys. See, over here. Look at the big pile of tablecloths. There you go.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Who took those home and washed
Should
them?
Should have edited the picture
Who did
there,
that?
I guess.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, Betty. Love you all. It continues.
Yes, great weekend. Great weekend.
Yes.
We're going to go ahead and receive our offering this morning. And by the way, we not only give tithes to support the work of the church, but we give above and beyond that on offering to meet needs all over the world, missionaries and ministries all over the world. Our goal for 2018 is to give literally $40,000 above our normal tithes to missions and ministries. So thank you for your faithfulness in that. Let's pray. Father, bless the gift and the giver today. And God, may we have generous hearts just like you do in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give this morning. By the way, we also want to pray this morning over our Seek God for the City. It's day 33, and today we're praying that God would bring forth peace among peoples, and we're praying on behalf of the ethnic communities in our city. I don't know how many of you realize how many different people we have in this city that God has brought from around the world to this city so that you and I might have the opportunity to minister the love of Jesus Christ to them. It's many. We used to go to Americana. We're involved in Refuge. I mean, there's probably a good 50 different ethnic groups that are in this city at least. Mm-hmm. So, and then we're going to pray also on behalf of the Middle East. So would you join me for a moment as we pray together? Remember, we're praying with churches all over this city. And thank God for this uniting of the body of Christ to believe for revival in the city of Louisville. So, Father, we pray today in Jesus' strong name that you, Almighty God, would bring forth peace among the peoples of Louisville, Kentucky. We pray on behalf of the ethnic communities in this city, Lord. I know there are many Bosnians, there are Serbians, there are Somalians, there are Cubans, there are people from throughout the Hispanic world, Mexico and Guatemala and Honduras and Nicaragua, and there's so many countries represented in our own city. Some that we don't even, may not even know about, but you do, God, and you care for each one. And Lord, may this be a place of peace. May this be a place of blessing for every person that you have brought from around the world. Lord, I think about our Bhutanese Nepali church across town. Lord, I pray blessings on Pastor Philip and his congregation. Lord, for all the peoples that you've brought to Louisville, may they come to know the peace, the love, the joy of Jesus Christ in their hearts. May the Prince of Peace overcome every tension, every hostility between any groups in our city, that Jesus, you might be Lord over Louisville, Kentucky. We pray that you, Lord Jesus, would be revealed as the greatest hope for sustained peace between cultures and people. We pray for the Middle East, Lord, Algeria, Bahrain, Cyprus, that you would move mightily in those nations in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tell us about this, sweetie.
Hey, guys. Easter egg hunt's coming April 1st. If you have not gotten your eggs, we've got them back in the back, and you need to stuff them with candy that's already wrapped and then bring them in, and then invite people to come. We always have a great service, and we have a big Easter egg hunt, and the kids will love it. So we're excited about it. It's going to be great. And pray for the weather. You know, we need good weather, guys. And next week.
I'm excited about next
week. Guess who's
Sunday.
Coming next week, guys?
Brian Harden from Daily Audio Bible will be right here bringing the message from his brand new book, Sneezing Jesus. Can somebody say, bless you? It's going to be amazing. You're going to be blessed by that. So make sure and be here. Thank you, honey. I love you. All right. Amen. Do you have your Bibles this morning? If you do, you're welcome to turn with me to Exodus chapter 34. We're continuing today in our series called Strong and Healthy Marriages. Let me just say, right from the get-go, whether you're married, single, or divorced, this series is for you, and it will bring you, I think, hope and encouragement. It will prepare you if you're not married. It will help you if you are. It will help you if you've been married and you're hoping to be married again. Wherever you're at, I want you to really lean in and listen because I think we have some good things for you. Before we dive into the scripture and into the message this morning, I thought we'd have just a little bit of fun. We're actually going to be talking this morning about the baggage that a lot of us drag into our marriages, not realizing the damaging effect that it may honestly have in our relationship. And I kind of like Will Ferrell's advice here. I don't normally listen to Will, but before you marry a person, you should first make them use a computer with slow internet to see who they really are. You know, if you're in a good marriage, there's going to be stability, you know, there's going to be balance that comes, kind of like this little couple right here. You know, the right woman can bring balance and stability to your life. I don't know if you see her or not, but he's missing a tire on the front. And, well, anyway, that one was risky. But anyway, we thought we would try it. So, you know, here's a great sign. I love these signs, you know, that you see all over the place with the white lettering. This one's pretty good, you know. Marriage is like a deck of cards. In the beginning, all you need is two hearts and a diamond. By the end, you wish you had a club and a spade. But anyway, that's not the kind of marriage we're fighting for. It's not what we're believing for, okay? In fact, here's what we're believing for right here. Jesus has got all your baggage, and you can follow him. So this morning, I want to talk about this issue of baggage. So what is baggage? Let me just describe it this way. Baggage is the things from your past that end up becoming very realized in your present and often bring destruction, frustration, difficulty in your relationships. Now, where'd my wife go? Where'd she go? Okay, good. I can really pick on her then. You know, when 30 years ago, when we came into our marriage, our relationship, you know, Tracy just brought loads of baggage. I mean, just brought in loads of baggage. And I, you know, I had just teeny tiny, I mean, you know, little bitty baggage, just small stuff. No, I'm just kidding, actually. So before my wife actually hears this and I get in trouble, I better make this story right. No, we both brought in baggage. Issues from our past, stuff that we hadn't dealt with, things that quite honestly at times we didn't even know were there, that God used marriage to kind of bring it to the surface. I liked what Petri said this morning. By the way, wasn't that wonderful to have Petri with us this morning leading us? Thank you, Petri, and the whole team this morning. Great job. Good to have Chip and Heather back from their anniversary trip. Hope you guys had a great time. I was praying for you. But you know, it's interesting. You don't even realize sometimes what you bring until it comes to the surface, until conflict arises, until challenges come, and then all of a sudden, oh, there you are, sweetheart. I was just bragging on you. Good to see you, baby. But it's interesting because, like Petri said this morning, marriage is not always about just making you happy and fulfilled. I love Gary Thomas's book, Sacred Marriage, and the byline of his book is, what if marriage wasn't meant to make you happy, but to make you holy? And there is a refining process. There are challenges. I've often said that marriage or relationships has been one of the most helpful areas of teaching, training, growth in my life. Absolutely. So we all come into marriage, I think, with baggage. It's what we do with that that ends up making a big difference. I want to share with you three common bags that we tend to bring into marriage that if we don't deal with them, they're absolutely going to be destructive. The first one is iniquity. Everybody say iniquity. Have you ever noticed that the Bible actually has different words for sin? And there's a reason for that. And it'll talk about trespasses. It'll talk about, you know, they actually use the word sin. But another word that's commonly used is the word iniquity. Well, the Hebrew word for iniquity is the word avon. And it literally means this. It means to bend or twist as by a prevailing wind. You ever seen a tree on a hillside where it's kind of been bent over time? And probably why, if you knew the history of the tree, is that where it's located, where it's sitting on that berm, whatever it might be, the wind predominantly tends to blow from a certain direction. So it's caused that tree over time to have a bend, to lean in a certain direction. And that's kind of the word iniquity in the Hebrew. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7, it says these words, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin.'" There's three words right there. "And by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation." Now, it's interesting, these iniquities, if they're not dealt with, they will be passed on to future generations. T.D. Jakes said it like this, and I have found a lot of truth in this statement, that every man must fight his father's enemies. Wherever your dad, your mom, your grandmother, your grandfather struggled, wherever there was a bent towards sin or negative behavior, there's very much a likelihood that you struggle in that same area. Now, we've done something here recently with our staff, and we're also doing it with our married couples group that meets on Sunday nights, every other Sunday night. We're doing a genogram. I don't know how many of you have heard of the term genogram, and please don't freak out. That's not some kind of thing used in demonic worship, okay? That's not what that is. Okay, a genogram is a really helpful and healthy thing for you to look back at the generations preceding you and to literally discern, if you will, some of those bents towards sin, negative behavior, destructive behavior that will influence your relationship if you're not careful, if you don't deal with them. So, the scripture says it'll be visited to the third and the fourth generation if we don't deal with them. When you're growing up, I don't know if you ever heard this, I certainly did. There's an old saying, and you can kind of give me a little bit of something here if you've heard this before. The acorn doesn't fall far from the tree. Anybody ever heard that saying? My kids, they always get on me about my old sayings. You know, I use all kinds of what in their mind are really old sayings, like that one. There's a lot of wisdom in those old sayings. You ever found that? And that one right there really, really gets it pretty well. If, you know, a genogram is a really helpful thing. I'm going to show you a famous person's genogram, and I'm not going to go into the details, but just suffice to say, if you knew how to read this and understood the power of a genogram, you would know why this person has had famously some very difficult relationships and sinful patterns in their life. This is actually the genogram of Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, right there in the green block. And if you knew what all the arrows and the different shapes and the different lines meant, you would understand why this man has been prone to the sinful patterns and behavior that have followed him in his life. By the way, if you're interested in finding healthier relationships, I'm so excited about emotionally healthy relationships, that small group. We're going to continue to offer that in future terms. We're going to do everything we can to press that down into the culture here at New Song, because my heart for you and I, for all of our relationships, married, single, whatever they are, is to have healthy, healthy relationships. So, you know, we all came out of imperfect environments. Even those of us who had godly, good parents, they weren't perfect. And there were challenges. We were exposed to things like pride, rebellion, sometimes immorality, anger. And it's interesting, when you're growing up, it's like, you don't realize it, but it's almost like you have a video player. You know, it's interesting now that policemen wear these video cameras that capture everything they do and everywhere they go. And you don't realize it, but you have like an internal video player that's playing as you grow up, and that video player is catching things. Because a lot of what you and I do is more caught than taught. You know, you're watching. How do your parents handle money? You know, what are things like, I'm getting a little bit of a reverb here, if one of you guys can help me here on my mic. You know, how do your parents handle money? How do your parents treat other people? You're watching this, and you're learning from this, and it's catching in your heart and your spirit. How do they resolve conflict? I bet if we took the time here this morning and just kind of polled you and asked you, I bet the way you have tended to handle conflict in your marriage looks an awful lot like the way your parents did, or at least it did initially, until maybe you readjusted somewhere along the way. I think that's better, guys. Thank you all. So, you know, it's interesting. The way we grow up, it affects us greatly. And unless something happens to change us, we'll be just like the acorn that doesn't fall far from the tree. His genogram is really, really helpful. We all come out of these imperfect environments, and we have to be willing to admit that. See, here's what an iniquity is, another definition for it. It's a generationally entrenched sin. How did my family see others? How did my family treat women? How did my family treat people of other ethnicities? We're all influenced and affected by those things. Here's another great illustration, one that I love to use. They literally tracked two families over several generations. Jonathan Edwards' family, Jonathan Edwards, who was the revivalist that brought one of the great awakenings here to our nation. They traced his family through several generations, and they found that this godly man, who, if you've ever read anything about Jonathan Edwards, this was a man who was meticulous. This is a man who absolutely dealt with the sins in his life severely. He was a man of repentance. He was a man who followed God wholeheartedly. So because he set a clean slate, if you will, for the generations that followed him, look at what came after him. 13 college presidents, 65 college professors, 75 military officers, 90 public servants, 60 authors, 60 doctors, 30 judges, 100 pastors, 100 lawyers, 3 U.S. senators, and a vice president. How many of you think that's a pretty good heritage right there? If your future generations lived long enough, wouldn't you love to see that kind of fruit come out of your family, out of your tribe? It's because he dealt with the sins that would have beset him and would have beset future generations. They also followed a guy named Max Jukes. Now, Max Jukes was an absolute scoundrel. You guys know the word scoundrel, right? I mean, this guy was the worst of the worst. He had a horrible criminal record. They followed his generations as long as they did Jonathan Edwards. Look at what came out of Max Jukes' lineage. 310 of his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren died as paupers. 150 were criminals. 7 were murderers, convicted murderers. Over 100 were drunks, 190 prostitutes. Now, there's nobody that's going to say, boy, that I'd love my lineage to look like that. Let me just tell you, the key is following after God and dealing with the iniquities, fighting your father's enemies. whatever those are, whatever that bent towards sin is, whatever that default setting, that unless you rise up in faith-filled prayer and break the iniquities, they will continue to manifest in the generations to come. You've got to deal with it. I have to deal with it. And we've got to learn how to break them in prayer. How do you do that? Let me show you real quick. How do you break iniquities? Number one, you've got to confess it and take responsibility for your behavior. You have to recognize it in you. You have to see where those seeds, that iniquity from the previous generations is in you. And except for the grace of God, you would go there too. But you have to deal with it, whether you're going there or not, even if there's just the inclination or the kind of the temptation. Secondly, you need to forgive your parents and anyone involved and give them grace. And I just say this about our parents. I had amazing parents. Tracy had amazing parents. You had amazing parents. And all of our parents have tried to do their very best with the knowledge and the wisdom they had. And most of them, quite honestly, were handed a worse situation than you and I were, and they did their best with it. I'm thankful for the mom and dad that I had. But if there's problems there, if there's challenges, forgive them. Bless them. Number three, submit the area of your life to Jesus and make him Lord of it. And you know what? Here's a great prayer to pray. Lord, disciple me in this area. Lord, my mom and dad were so prone to anger. God, I'm prone to anger. Lord, I just blow up at the Lord, disciple me in this. Show me how to be a man of patience, a man of peace, a man of gentleness and tenderness. You got to make a decision. You got to draw a line in the sand. You're not going to pass those iniquities onto your children and your grandchildren, that it stops here. Number four, break the power of iniquity over you and all future generations. You need to say it out loud. In your prayer closet, you need to say, anger, you are no longer going to influence me or my future generations. In Jesus' strong name, I'm taking authority over you. I renounce any hold you've had in my life. I take authority in Jesus' strong name, and I break you off of my life and off of all future generations in Jesus' strong name. You need to take authority over iniquities. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We're going to pray over these things at the close of the message. Number two is inner vows. Inner vows. And some of you understand what I'm talking about and some of you don't. What in the world is an inner vow? Well, an inner vow is a self-directed promise made in response to pain or difficulty in your life. So let me just say this. You know, we never make inner vows because we're evil people. We make them because we're hurting. We make them out of protection. We make them in a sense of wanting to create safety in our lives. We'll say things like this, and this is an inner vow, and you will understand what I'm talking about here in a moment. You know, I don't ever want to come back here again. When I think about this place, this situation, this circumstance, I'm never coming back here again. I'll never be poor again. Some of you grew up in poverty, and your family struggled, and you made an inner vow. I'll never be poor. I hated going without. I hated not having the right kind of clothes at school or whatever it might be. Some of you have made an inner vow. I'll never let that person or that type of person hurt me again. I'll never let them hurt me again. And sometimes we don't even realize we're doing this, guys. But inside we're doing this. We're making this decision internally. And we're making a vow. Some of us, I'll never spank my kids. Maybe you had an abusive father or mother and you were spanked out of control and not in love. Or how about this one? I'll never go to church again. Got hurt in church and somebody betrayed you, let you down, said something unkind about you. See, we make inner vows, not because we're evil, but because we're hurting. And we make it out of trying to create a zone of safety for ourselves. It's often in those most hurtful moments when we're trying to protect ourselves from further hurt that we make that inner vow. It's innocent, but dangerous. Let me show you why. Let me give you the problem with inner vows. Three things. Number one, let's just cut to the chase. They're sin. They're sin. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 37 puts it this way. Again, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, this is Jesus' words, but I say to you, don't swear at all. You ever heard anybody? Well, I swear to God. You're not supposed to do that. Why? Well, I swear by whatever. My wife and I, we at times have watched over the years and enjoyed some of the Survivor seasons. We met a friend in Nicaragua that's been a part of the Survivor team, and there's a couple of guys on there that they're just I don't care whether they're winners or not. They're losers in my mind because of the lengths to which they will go to try to establish trust relationships. One guy who won one season, his name was Tony. He swore on his father's grave that he would not betray a person and then turned around and betrayed them. One person just went off because they, you know, that meant something to them. You would never, ever do something like that. Jesus, listen to what Jesus says. I say to you, do not swear at all. Neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by earth, for it's his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. Some of you wish you could, but can't do that. Or maybe even make some more up there. But anyway, but let your yes be yes. Here's what Jesus says. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Do you see that? If you're going around swearing on stuff, it's from the evil one. Now, why is that? Jesus is saying, don't make a vow. You don't need to make a vow. Don't swear by things. Don't swear at all. Let me tell you why it's evil. You have to understand the principle underlying it, okay, church? Listen, when you do that, when you swear by whatever, Jesus is not Lord of your life in that area. Jesus wants your yes to be yes, your no to be no, you to be a person of integrity, you to be a person that people can trust your word. You don't need to go around swearing by this, swearing by that. You need to be a man or a woman who walks with integrity according to God's word. When you make these inner vows, I'll never do this again, I'll never go there again, I'll never be hurt again, you are literally taking an area of your life out from under the lordship of Jesus, and you are trying to take control of it into your own hands. Can I just say to you, you need to take that hurt to Jesus himself. Jesus cares about every hurt that you've experienced. Listen, I've got some areas in my life right now that are hurting me. And here's what I have found. In fact, my counselor told me at one point, Jeff, you've got a broken heart. There's an issue that just broke my heart. And when he told me that, all of a sudden I began to realize it and began to go, you know, you're right, Chuck, I do. And then I read Isaiah 61 again, where Jesus proclaims those words, Luke chapter 4, where Jesus proclaims those words. I came to heal the brokenhearted. I came to heal the brokenhearted. That very day when I realized my heart had been broken by a relational situation, I took it to Jesus, and I began to feel him literally healing my broken heart. Whatever the hurt is that you've experienced, take it to Jesus in prayer. Lay it before him. Sit quietly in his presence. Worship him. Let him be the surgeon who brings the healing to your heart. See, we make these inner vows just out of ignorance. But we need to take the hurt to Jesus rather than make a vow. Because Jesus is the healer of our broken hearts. Can I just be real honest and confessional here with you for a little bit? I just want to tell you a little bit about how this influenced my own life. My mom, who's now in heaven and I love and appreciate it so very much, she was a tender, kind, loving mother who did her very best in my life. But my mom had a temper, and my mom at times would get very angry, and I was an only child. And when my mom's anger started to fuel up, I was often the one who got that anger spilled out on them. And there were times where her anger was very hurtful to me and made me feel less than. And maybe some of you know what I'm talking about. If you had a parent that verbally was maybe borderline abusive, I don't know, I'm not sure, but I know at times it just, it hurt me deeply. And out of that, at some point along the way, I didn't know what I was doing. All I knew is that I wanted protection from it. And I made an inner vow that she wasn't going to hurt me like that anymore. That my mom wasn't going to verbally with her words. And as a small child, I didn't know how to defend myself and I didn't know how to set healthy boundaries. How many of you know what I'm talking about here? So I made a vow. And it not only affected my relationship with my mom, because I became a master at just turning her off. When she would get angry and she would kind of go into one of her tirades, I would turn her off, and it was almost as if I was just in a very different place than she was, and I could ignore her with the best of them. It not only affected my relationship with her, it affected my relationship with my wife. And it affected my relationship with other women in my life, because I kind of just by transferred that a lot of times. If I was dealing with someone who was strong-willed or highly opinionated, I would just kind of turn them off. And I had to realize that. I had to take ownership for that. And I had to do exactly what I just told you. I had to renounce that. I had to repent of that. And I had to ask the Lord to forgive me and to break that in my life. Inner vows. Listen, an iniquity. Well, let me give you some things about what happens when we make inner vows. So there's sin. Number two, they cause us to be unteachable, unapproachable, and irrational in an area of our lives. You ever come across somebody, and I would have been a perfect example of this, if you stumble into an area where they've really been hurt and you don't realize it, I mean, there's an explosion that comes and you weren't expecting it. And oftentimes it's because this inner vow. See, an iniquity goes in the same direction as your family. I showed you the genogram. But an inner vow tends to go in the other direction. Okay? So you overreact in that area, and quite honestly, you become a little bit crazy. I mean, you just kind of become a little nutty in that area. You're way overprotective in that area. I mean, if I could just say it like, you're crazy as a bedbug in that area, man. I mean, and if people kind of stumble upon it or touch that, they're going to get a reaction from you, even if they don't even realize what that's attached to, what the preceded that in your life. It's going to come up. I could give you a lot of different examples of that. You know, an iniquity has you laying in the same ditch as your family. An inner vow has you jumping the road and laying on the other side in the ditch. Here's where Jesus wants us, on the road, moving forward in a healthy way. Amen? Another thing about inner vows is they cause us to overreact and to be extreme. They cause us to overreact and be extreme. So how do we break an inner vow? You renounce them and you repent. You submit that area of your life to the Lord. You ask Him to heal you and teach you. You forgive anyone associated with the vow, and you break the spiritual power of that vow over your life. Number three is unforgiveness, and we could spend a lot of time talking about this one. Matthew 6:14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. You know, there's There's certain verses we love to put on plaques and we love to put on note cards, and most all the time they're promises. You know, they're the really wonderful promises. This might be one that we ought to put on a plaque. Might be one we ought to put on our bathroom mirror. Maybe even put it on the refrigerator. Why is that? Because about 80% of people in churches today all across America are dealing with unforgiveness. That might be a low number, quite honestly. Listen, God's going to give you the grace, the same amount of grace that you're willing to give others. Do you realize that? God has given us immense, immense grace. He has forgiven us of a sin we could not have paid the price for, we could not have forgiven ourselves for. He forgave us, cast it into the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west. And listen, when we choose to hold on to unforgiveness, and it's easy to do, we forfeit the grace that God would want to give us. Listen, the only person you can hate in this life is Satan. In his evil schemes, his diabolical schemes. You cannot hate anybody else. Look at this story in Matthew chapter 18. This story in Matthew chapter 18 is powerful. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers. I want you to see that word, torturers, until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Here's the problem with unforgiveness. My goodness, it's hypocritical. You might say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I don't have a lot of unforgiveness. You know, I don't have a lot of sin in my life. Listen, your sin and my sin killed Jesus. Your sin and my sin, my rebellion, my thinking I could do it without God, it was my sins that killed the sweet Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself and hung him on that cross. How can we not forgive? We don't have any right whatsoever to hold on to unforgiveness. This is where we fall into this self-righteous trap, and it's hypocritical. We must be people who pass on the grace that God has given us, because every one of us has had a debt we couldn't pay. Secondly, it opens us up to demonic torment. Unforgiveness will bring torment. Forgiveness will bring joy and peace in our lives. See, I don't know about you. I don't want justice in my own life. I want mercy. And mercy is that my sins are not being held against me because I've received his forgiveness. Many, many, many of our emotional and mental and physical problems come from this issue alone. Unforgiveness that still swirls around in our bones, that affects our body. Chip, I know you could do a big teaching on this and help us see this in so many ways, how unforgiveness alone affects us physically. It's a lot, isn't it? It's a huge issue, huge issue. Anytime you choose not to forgive, let me just say this, and let me try to get this as strong as I can. Anytime you choose not to forgive, you open a door to the enemy. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no exceptions. And let me tell you this, it opens up your life to demonic deception. One of the words for the devil is diabolos. It means slanderer. The Bible says that he is the father of lies. I guarantee you a lot of divorces can be traced back to this. Unforgiveness that resulted in deception from the enemy. Ephesians 4 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Listen, married couples, if you go to bed angry, the devil angry with your spouse. If you go to bed angry with your spouse, if you have a fight and you don't resolve it, listen, the devil will counsel you all night long. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You'll turn over because you don't want to face her or you don't want to face him. And you'll be laying there and you'll try to scoot over to the far edge of the bed as close as you, as far as you can get away. And all night long, the devil's just saying, look who you married. She's never going to change. Man, you married Satan's bride himself. I mean, how did you fall for this one? You are absolutely in trouble. This is going to be horrible and it's going to get worse. And you, listen, you need to divorce her. You're going to hear that kind of chatter from hell itself. You're going to be tempted to make those inner vows. Ah, I can't believe she did that. I'll never let her do that again to me. If you're not careful, there goes an inner vow. Man, you're falling right back into that iniquity. There's some folks, you know, I have some friends who, if you were to look at their genogram, their family tree, boy, it's a lot of branches are broken because there's divorce, divorce, divorce. I have one friend, his mom and dad share, his mom was divorced, I think, 3 times. His dad was divorced 3 times. When he and his wife got married, very clearly the two of them understood, you know what, we're going to have to fight for this marriage. We're going to have to recognize the challenges that came before. We're going to have to stand up, take responsibility. We're going to have to make sure we don't let the devil counsel us. We're going to have to make sure we forgive the iniquities. We're going to have to make sure we break all the inner vows. And I got to tell you, this couple, they're amazing. They have a beautiful marriage and a beautiful family because they chose not to let the junk continue on. It's cool. It's cool. Listen. You and I, we need to learn. This is something I learned long ago. You need to devil-proof your heart before you go to bed. You need to devil-proof your heart every day. You need to put on the full armor of God. One of the things I do, I go piece by piece every single day. And I put on the full armor of God. Why? Because I don't want to be a warrior out on the battlefield unprotected. And one of the things I love to pray over is my mind. Putting on that helmet of salvation, guarding my thoughts. And one of the things I've begun to do here recently, and I'm really enjoying this, is just praying over different parts of my body, praying over my eyes. God, give me eyes to see what you see, to see people as you see them. Help me, Lord, not to see things that are displeasing to you. Help me to turn my eyes from those things. Help me, Lord, to have pure sight. Help me to really see and sense and know the needs of others around me. Just praying over my eyes, praying over my lips. Lord, help me to speak words of life to those that are around me. Help me to speak words that encourage and build people up. Give me hands to serve. Man, just praying over it. How do we break that unforgiveness? Let me just give you a couple things. You repent and ask God to forgive you. You trust God with vengeance and with the other person. You release that person. Here's the kicker. I love this. You bless those that have hurt you. You bless them. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28. Listen, this is a spiritual litmus test if there ever was one, folks. But I say to you who hear, Jesus is saying, if you have ears to hear my teaching and be my disciple, listen to these words. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. Listen, unforgiveness has not been an easy issue in my life. I had a lot of unforgiveness. There's been times that Tracy and I allowed unforgiveness in our marriage. And we had to recognize it and repent of it. For our relationship to get back to that place where there was just sweetness and joy and we really could be one together. You let unforgiveness in, even in tiny measures, it'll grow, it'll get bigger and bigger. Listen, this is not trite spiritual advice. This is life. This will make all the difference. And number 4, walk in grace and forgiveness every day and guard your heart. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. If you've ever dealt with an iniquity, if you've ever made an inner vow, and if you've ever struggled with unforgiveness, I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. And I'd like to do this. I'd like to lead us in a prayer this morning, just in each of those areas. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and even the ministry team to come up because I want to open up a little bit of time for personal prayer if you need it also this morning. But would you join me and would you pray with me? And we'll keep this short and sweet and to the point, but I'd love it if you would just pray out loud with me. Because I think every one of us have probably been affected by every one of these things. And if you're like me and you want healthy relationships, you want a strong, healthy marriage, or you're single and you're hoping for a strong, healthy marriage one day, listen, these are things you need to take to heart and you need to deal with. So would you join me? Let's pray together. Would you say with me, Father God, I come before you in Jesus' strong name. And I ask you to forgive all my iniquities. I recognize them today. I renounce them today. In Jesus' name. And I ask you to break their power over me and over future generations. And bless those generations to come. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I break any inner vows I've made. I made them innocently. I didn't know what I was doing. I renounce them in Jesus' strong name. And Lord, I choose to forgive today because you have forgiven me freely. And I have no right to hold on to unforgiveness. And I release everyone in Jesus' name that has hurt me. And I bless them today in Jesus' name. Help me to walk in freedom and in the truth of your word. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord strong praise this morning. Amen and amen. Petrie's going to lead us in a powerful song. We'll come to the altar. I love this song. You know what? If you need prayer, maybe we stirred a little something up here today. Maybe you need a little more prayer. These are trusted brothers and sisters that would love to pray with you today. Maybe you're here and you haven't committed your heart to Christ. They'd love to pray with you about that. But we're going to sing it, and you come if you have any prayer need, and then I'll come back and dismiss us in just a moment. God bless you.
Have you come to the end of yourself?
grab a bag of Easter eggs as you leave today. Fill them up with some yummy candy for the kids. By the way, Easter's coming. Everybody be thinking of somebody you can invite, somebody you can reach out to and invite to be with us on that special Easter Sunday morning. Let me pray over us. Lord, go with us. And God, may our relationships reflect the health of the good work you've been doing in each of us, Lord, as you've just been cleansing us and of all iniquities and inner vows and unforgiveness. May we have the healthiest relationships because we're your people, God. May we show forth something to the world that gets their attention. Go with us now. Lord, I pray your blessing on all these wonderful folks. Give them a good week in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.